started on the topic explaining baptism, communion, and anointing oil, right?
When is this time?
This is Monday. Okay. Explaining that. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 28 for verse 18 to 20. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, let us have a quick recap of what we've been doing, of what we said on Monday. We said that the authority of Christ is exercised in where? In the raising of disciples, right? Okay, hallelujah. And one of the things that we are taught being disciples is to do what? Is to observe how Jesus taught the scriptures. And we choose to accept the same, right? We saw that part of the thing that we learn is how scriptures is being taught, the didache, the heart. Hallelujah. How scriptures are being taught. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. He says, and it was when he had ended his saying that the people were astonished at his didache. This is, they were astonished at his teaching, his doctrine, his teaching. That's the word didache. The mode or a way a matter is communicated, the way a message is communicated. And they were astonished at his mode of explaining scriptures. And we said that the how scripture is explained is Christ. And that is how the apostles also explained it. Explained it in the light of Christ. Christ-centered. Hallelujah. Christ-centered. Is surrounded. The scripture is explained with, or the scripture, let's say the scripture is Christ-centered. Centered around a person. Hallelujah. Centered around a person, and that is Christ. Hallelujah. We also saw how scriptures are taught, or what we should do in Bible study. We saw that too on Monday. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, 15. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, Paul also commended Timothy's skillfulness in handling what? Scriptures. Which is what? Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Salvation through faith. That is key. Salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And we said that is the, when you talk about the word mysteries, we say Paul will call the Old Testament mysteries, mysterion, and it is truth hidden amongst facts. Do you understand me? Truth hidden amongst facts. We're going to see that a bit today. Do you understand me? We're going to see that a bit today. Within the short time we have. We can't say it today, we'll see it on Friday. Hallelujah. So, you see, it's truth hidden amongst facts. Now, Paul will now call Timothy skillful for being able to see this truth, how it is written amongst facts. Do you understand me? And when he talks about scripture, all scripture, you've known the Holy Scripture, he's referring to what the Old Testament writing. So in verses
16, when he said all scripture, is what is he referencing? He's referencing salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is the all scripture where salvation through faith in Christ Jesus is found. Do you understand me? And he said it's profitable for doctrine. Hallelujah. Do you understand? For teaching. I will say that the word doctrine is what didaskalia for teaching. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, it shows that what you find in scripture, we saw Hebrews 1 verse 2. It says, Christ is the fulfillment of the words of the prophecies, of the prophet, or the words in the mouth of the prophet. Hallelujah. So we'll now look at John chapter 5 quickly. John 5. Verse 45 into 46. He says, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he spoke about me. Now, very important. He said, do not think that I will accuse you. There's one who accuses you. What can you use the word who condemns you, right? Now, that word accuse is the word katagoyo. I mean, katagoyo. K-A-T-O-G-O-E-O. Katagoyo. Katagoyo. It means to pass, it implies to pass a judgment or to bring one before a judge. To pass a judgment. So what he's saying is that Moses, now when he said there's one who accuses you, Moses in whom you trust, he's not saying Moses is, he's not painting Moses in the in the dark. Do you understand me? He's not painting Moses black. No. What he's doing is he's telling them there's already a judgment against unbelief. Remember, in Matthew 19, he says, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Now, what he's telling them is there is already a judgment passed on unbelief. You understand? So that's why he said there's one who accuses you, who has passed this judgment of unbelief. Do you understand me? Are you getting it? Because you find, did Jesus pass a judgment of unbelief also? Yes, he did. Do you understand me? And where will he get it from? He will get it from Moses. Do you understand me? Glory to God. If you read John chapter 3, John 3 verse 18. John 3, 18. It says, he who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Did you see that? He's condemned already. Now, Moses will pass. Now, what Jesus is saying is that Moses has passed to you of a condemnation for unbelief. Remember, when we'll look at this critically, that will be next week Saturday, where we're discussing eternal damnation and immortality. We'll look at that very well. Do you understand? That condemnation. Hallelujah. We'll look at that. And I say we'll look at what God's wrath is when you hear the wrath of God. Right? We'll see that very well next week Saturday. So Moses will pass that because of the hardness of their heart. So that judgment was passed because of their unbelief. I will read Matthew 19:8. Hardness of heart. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Sclerocardia. A word that is used for unbelief in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, verse 15, verse 19. A word used for unbelief. Say, today, if it be today, harden not your heart. You know, you find that from the word of David, hallelujah, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Glory to God. Is the word for sclerocardia, hardness of heart. So, because of the hardness of heart, listen, because of the hardness of their heart, Moses will now employ something, and I need us to follow me critically, because we need this as we get into talking about baptism, communion, and anointing oil. You understand? Very well. Now, Moses, because of the hardness of their hearts, Moses will communicate God's oracle to them, listen, in two ways.
Listen, Moses will communicate God's words to them in two ways. God will, Moses will speak to them, that is, teach them the word. Do you understand? Moses will teach them the word. Now, you know, the word of God is learned by teaching. Hallelujah. So he will teach them the word. And also, listen, and also he will use symbols. He will use symbols, or he will use symbols as a prefiguring for what he has taught them. Do you understand me? So, to stick to, if you look at the symbols, you will be the man, you'll be like the man who has a hardened heart. You have to stick to the words around the event. Do you understand me? So, there will be events. Listen, take note of this. There will be a prefiguring. There will be events. Do you understand me? There will be events. But a good student of the scriptures would not look at the events, but he will stick to the words that were said around the event. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you will not stick to the event. Are you hearing me? Okay, for example, we looked at this story while we were discussing the leading of the Spirit. We looked at the tabernacle. Eh? We looked at the tabernacle as we were discussing the leading of the Spirit. We said something. I said, when Moses told them to build the tabernacle, now, he was giving them ordinances to build tabernacle. Then he telling them this is what to do, do this, do this. Then he within the context, he said, the Lord spoke through him, and he said to them, I will dwell amongst you. Do you understand me? Now, that is the word around the what? That event. The event is that they were building a tabernacle. But the word was spoken that says, I will dwell amongst you. Now that word, I will dwell amongst you, the word amongst you is the word in the Hebrew that implies I will dwell in you. You understand me? So, in as much as they were building the tabernacle where God will stay, the Lord spoke that I will dwell in you. And that is why the writer of Hebrew will now write and say, while the tabernacle was yet standing, the Spirit of the Lord did testify that was not the place, that was not the way to the holiest of all. Do you understand? Meaning, while that was happening, there was a witness of the Spirit that is not the real thing. Do you understand me? So, a good Bible student will not stick to the event. He will not stick to the prefiguring. He will stick to what was said around it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses will use dark sayings, parables, in the Greek which is parable, dark sayings, parables.
Psalm 78. Okay, verse 2, it says, I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. He said, I will open my mouth, he said, which we have and known, and our fathers have told us. Now, it's because of the hardness of their hearts. You know, when Jesus will now quote this, is Matthew 13. Go to Matthew 13, Jesus quotes it. Very similar. Hallelujah. Verse 33. Let's look at verse 33. Matthew 13, 33. Oh, sorry. Sorry, go back to verse 13. Matthew 13, 13. Matthew 13:13. It says, therefore, I'll speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, in hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Do you understand me? And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, saying, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not receive. For the heart of the people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart and turn, that I should heal them. That is referring to those who are unbelieving, hardly heard. So he said, you speak, saying, hear, they do not hear. So you speak in parables, that same parable. Do you understand me? Parable. Hallelujah. So Moses will also use the same expression. He will prefigure it. Hallelujah. He will use that sense. He will give the events to show what he has taught. Do you understand me? Are you with me? Hallelujah. We will see one of such events tonight. Now look at verses. Look at verses 46 of John chapter 5. It says, had you believed Moses, you would have believed. He said, for he spoke concerning me. So, what Jesus is saying is Moses' words or Moses' teaching was concerning him. Do you understand? Moses' teaching was concerning him. In verses 39, he told them, you search the scriptures. Matthew 5:39. It says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. The word testify is the word that implies to bear witness of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the usage of that word, testify, which is material, M-A-T-H-E-R-E-U, material, it shows that Jesus, or he predates the scriptures. He predates the scriptures. Much more the reason why in John's hermeneutics, he will say he is the Logos. Just as he is the Logos. Hallelujah. He is the Logos. So, quickly, let's look at this. We've established two things. That the scripture spoke of Christ, right? And the scripture spoke of Christ, and Christ is the fulfillment of the scriptures, right? Right? It is the fulfillment of the prophecies of the prophet. That is, he is their message. Did we say that? He is their message. Okay. So, can we be safe to do something? Listen. First of all, remember, take note of this. He predates the scriptures, right? We are talking. Christ predates the scriptures, right? We just said that now, right? So the scriptures will testify of him, right? Will testify of him, and because he is the message of the prophets, right? So can it be safe for us to say this? That Christ, or that the prophet, let me put it like this. It will be safe to say Jesus did not quote the prophet. Do you understand? Did you get that? Jesus did not quote the prophet. The prophet quoted him. Did you get that? The prophet spoke his words. Those are his words. Do you understand that? Those are his words. So the prophet would speak his word. So we say they quoted Jesus as a
How shall I do it? They quoted him.
They used these words. Because John has told us he is the Logos from the beginning.
Okay.
Let's go ahead. So, since they spoke, since Moses wrote of it, and Moses spoke his words, we will say this. We will say that their words will be the same. We will say that their words will be the same, and their words will stand together.
They will not stand apart. Their words will stand together.
There will be no contradictions between them. Do you understand me? There will be no contradictions between them. So, very important.
There will be no contradiction between their words. Because,
Pastor Shepard will say something, faith, and which is very true. He said, will tell you, he says,
faith in Moses and faith in the message of Moses must be the same with faith in Christ.
So they stand together. Do you understand? They stand together. Glory to God. So a good Bible student will look carefully
on how Jesus will use words. He will look carefully on. We study carefully on how Jesus will use words.
Remember, we said Bible study requires devoted attention. So we will look carefully on how Jesus used words. It will be the same with how Moses will use them. We will use the same words. Because Moses and the prophets
will be borrowing Jesus' words or Jesus' vocabulary. Moses and the prophets will be borrowing Jesus' vocabulary.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, something very fast that we must take is that, so the way Jesus would use the words will be the same way also the apostles or the epistles will use it and explain it.
We also find explanations in the epistles. So their words will stand together. Do you understand that? Their words, their words will stand together.
So these words in the usage in the Old Testament especially in Moses. Especially in the law, it will be as a type and shadow.
Oh, sometimes I want to say Jesus. Okay, let's go ahead.
Jesus' use of word will not be figure of speech. We'll get to say that later on tomorrow. Jesus' use of word will not be figure of speech.
It will be the original meaning of the words. Just like when Jesus got to the woman and the well. And he spoke about the water.
Do you understand it? Yeah? When he said, I will give you living water. Now, what Jesus is talking about, we know, as we will study, will be concerning the Spirit. Do you understand? Concerning the Spirit. But
the woman was, the water the woman is going to fetch from the well will be the figure of speech. Do you understand? So Jesus will not use figure of speech. But it is his words.
Do you understand it? Uh-huh. How we will call fight will be our definition of fight.
Do you understand?
We will not borrow the word's definition. No. We will call fight the way Christ, the Bible will call it. We will call water the way the Bible will call it. We will call blood the way the Bible will call it. Do you understand? Because these are the real meaning of those words.
Do you understand? In the mouth of Christ.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, let's look at this quickly. very important in Bible study.
And it's part of something you must always look out for. Okay, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Let me just leave it aside tomorrow.
Because we'll look at how to effectively study the Bible. Before you arrive at a doctrinal matter.
Before you arrive at it, because what you're looking at is it's baptism is a doctrinal issue. It's doctrinal. So we have to know how to arrive at a doctrinal conclusion. You understand? And the Bible shows what is in the mouth of what, 2 or 3 weeks.
So we'll look at that tomorrow. On Wednesday, in the mouth of 2 or 3 weeks, talk Friday rather. Mouth of 2 or 3 weeks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you find those words used as type and shadow in Moses. You find it spoken of by Christ and explained in the epistles. Spoken of by Christ. You have the explanation there and the explanation to it in the epistles. For example, how would Jesus use the word rock? Rock. What is rock?
How would Jesus use the word rock? R-O-C-K. Is the word in Hebrew, in Greek, called Petra. P-E-T-R-A. Petra.
A word you will find in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7 verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew and beat on it, on that house, and it does not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears this saying of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. For the rain descended, the flood came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Jesus calls, he uses the word rock here, to liken it to a man who believes. He likened the man who believes to the man whose house is built on the rock. You find the same word in Luke 6:48-49, the same event, the same word, Luke 6. He calls the man who believes
the man who believes.
The word Petra implies something that is, or it implies what is firm and stable. What is firm, stable, immovable. Firm, stable, immovable. Undestroyable.
That is the word Petra. So, he uses that there in Matthew 16:16.
Matthew 16, verse 16. His conversation with Peter. Who do men say I am? Who do you say that I am? Verse 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But and also that I said to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it." Something immovable.
On this rock, when Jesus called Peter on this rock, in Matthew 16:16, liking the rock, or Jesus called the revelation of himself as the Christ from the scripture rock. You understand me? Because he said, on this rock,
on what Peter has said from the scriptures, hallelujah, he then likened it to what? To the rock. So on this rock, on this truth, on this revelation, I will be my church. Hallelujah. He said the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. So therefore, what's he looking at? Also, listen, in Luke chapter 8, it's used for something negative. Luke 8, verse 6. It says, it talks about the parable of the sower. Verse 6, it says, some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, he uses that word rock to imply a hardened heart. A hardened heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at how Paul will use the word rock in Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, verse 30. So what shall we say then? That Gentiles who do not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained the righteousness of, had not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. For it is written, he's quoting the prophet. Hallelujah. He's quoting the prophet Isaiah. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whoever believes on him. Now, he likened the word rock to a person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is what he called that rock there. Salvation. Likened it to salvation. Whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. Likened it to salvation. When he used the word believe, prior to this time, he has used that word believe. Peace. Or pistis. He has used that word pistis in chapter 10. He used that word in chapter 10, verses 9. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look at verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe, peace, in your heart. So the belief is concerning Christ. Do you understand me? Remember we said faith in the Old Testament, or faith in the Old Testament and faith in Christ are the same. So when he uses that word in chapter 9 and says whoever believes on it shall not be put to shame, that belief is on Christ. So he will liken, listen, remember these are the words of the prophets. You understand? So he's telling you, did the prophet also spoke about Christ? Can you now see? Hallelujah. So he's telling you something. The same word. Now he likened it to what? To Christ. Hallelujah. Rock. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 into 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, passed through the sea, and were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate same spiritual food,
they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That rock was Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he calls the rock the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. The knowledge of Christ. When we read in chapter 9, verse 33, Peter 2 quotes it in 1 Peter 2, verse 6 to 8. When he talks, using it to teach salvation. Hallelujah. So, in salvation, the Lord is the rock. In salvation, the Lord is the rock where we are founded in. Hallelujah. Where we are founded in. Quickly before we round up. I will kick it off from here on Friday to Saturday. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, we just read that rock is Christ. He was quoting, or when he was describing 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, when he spoke about that rock, the drink of that spiritual rock, what was in the background? What do we have in the background? Remember, we said the background of the Old Testament, of the New, of the epistles is what? Cool. Is the Old Testament. We said that, right? We said that. That's why they wrote the Old Testament. They had the epistles. They had the four gospels, and the epistles were at the foreground. They had it in front. Do you understand me? So, while the epistles were written, the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, was in the background. Do you understand me? So, what we have in the background here is Exodus 17:17. Exodus 17, verse 5. Let's quickly look at it. Exodus 17:5. If not, so wrong. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, from verse 5 to 7, and the Lord said to Moses, go before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hands your rod, which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the contentions of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord amongst us or not? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look at it. That word rock in the Greek is the word that means saw. T-S-U-R. Saw. T-S-U-R. Saw. In Hebrew. It means the same thing that it's the same meaning we have with the word Petra. Now look at something. Remember, I need you to get this straight. Remember, Moses would give them because of the hardness of their hearts, right? That drinking of the water coming out of the rock, is it an event? Is it an event? It's an event, right? It's an event. If you dwell on that event, you're not different from the hardened man. Do you understand? And you are not different from the man who is hardened in his heart to see what Moses was communicating. But I'm going to show you, we're going to see what Moses' explanation is. Moses explained it. Understand? But you know, if you are a hardened man,
you'll just be seeing the event. Do you understand? And you'll not see the fact inside the event. Or the truth, sorry, I say fact. The truth inside that fact. The fact is that they were thirsty, they complained, and they got water from the rock. You know, you see people teach, water can come out of the rock, miracle can still happen. Do you get that? They are missing it. They are explaining the event. What is the truth? Do you understand me? So behind the event, or in the midst of the event, is the message of Christ's work. That event of water and rock is a message of Christ's work. Do you understand? Is the message of Christ's work. Not a message, is the message of Christ's work. So a good Bible student doesn't dwell on the event, but on the message that is the words. Hallelujah. Let's see Moses' explanation as we go. That is where we'll round up. In Deuteronomy chapter 32. Verse 4. John 32:4. Are you there? Look at what it says. It says, I will start from verse, from verse 3. For I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Did you see that? He is the rock. Very important. He is the rock. So Moses calls God the rock. Look at verse 13. And it's the same with what Paul and the Lord Jesus said, right? And Peter, right? The same. Look at verses 13. He said he made him right in the height of the earth, that he might eat the produce of the field. He made him drew honey from the rock and oil from the flint rock, curds from the cattle and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the choicest wheat. And you drank wine, the blood of the grape. Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. You grew fat. You grew thick. You were obese. Then he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Do you see that? He's referring. Did you see that? He talks about their going away. So he now said he scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. So he likened to the rock. He likened the rock to be what? The rock of salvation. Do you understand me? And who is he referring to? To God. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So, did you see that Moses' explanation, Christ's explanation, and the epistles stand together? Did you see that? They stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, because of time, we'll stop here. And we'll continue tomorrow. We'll look at what the water is and what was the reason for the message in that event. Hallelujah. So, we'll see on Friday.